In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast. Sprosnika. The presentation of the Lord. There's this idea that I want to focus on for this homily that comes from St. Gregory Palamas. He has this curious statement about this feast in his homily, but he says it in passing about all of the feasts, but we'll hone in on this one since this is the feast that we are celebrating this day. St. Gregory says that every action of the Savior fills up human life with some kind of moral fortitude that it didn't have before. Or the event that Christ is participating in becomes one of the grace-filled sacraments. St. Gregory's saying that every action of the Lord somehow, at the foundational level, changed what it meant in human life. For us human beings, our life was changed as he went about the events of his incarnation. This event of the presentation in the temple, he says, is the restoration of obedience in all things to the Heavenly Father, and that it transforms the curse on human nature into a blessing. So we have two things that St. Gregory says are going on in this feast: the restoration of obedience to be in all things to the Heavenly Father. Now this is an avenue opened up to us that was not there before, and it transforms the curse, going all the way back to Adam and Eve, on human nature, into a blessing. Those so-called curses that we call them in English are death, corruptibility, and our sins. Those are transformed. Our corruptibility and the fact that we can succumb to death begin to be transformed as our Savior submits to the law and fulfills every little component of it. And he does that first thing in the law, well, really the second, since the first was his circumcision, and the second related to it is coming and being dedicated as the firstborn son of his mother to be dedicated in the temple to God. So here we see our Lord fulfilling in obedience to the law the sacrifices that are called for the firstborn who opened up the womb, as the scriptures call it. And the Theotokos, his mother, followed every human aspect of the law alongside him in dedication to the lawgiver who is her son and her God. So together, they go to the temple to dedicate themselves to the Heavenly Father through the hands of the priest Simeon. The one who is the Son of God in divinity is offered to God the Father in his humanity, filling up obedience to God with his indestructible life. That's how it becomes a blessing. Before was what was just maybe a covering, a way of uniting yourself to the people of God in general to be under this covenant, now takes on a whole new meaning, like we heard in the epistle. A change in the priesthood is a change in the law. Now, when we are obedient to God, it's not just simple obedience, but we are filled with his immortal, indestructible life. That's what St. Gregory Palamas is pointing at is the meaning of this feast. And St. Simeon's prophecy, when he holds the child Jesus in his arm, saying that this is the salvation of many and the rise and fall of many. He is holding salvation itself in his arms. That it changes the entirety of our human experience, our human existence, now with this one, with this infant. All of our human acts now can be filled with God's life. Even the sorrowful crucifixion that he alludes to in his prophetic statement is filled with God's life. The prophetic utterance of Simeon, and we don't know the words of Anna, though she is called a prophetess as well, are filled with God's life. Simeon's story is an interesting one. My patron and protector, this is my Simeon. His story is interesting because the reason he is there is to bear witness to Christ fulfilling the law and all of the prophets. His story goes like this. There was an Egyptian pharaoh. The tradition holds that it was under Ptolemy II, and he wished to include in the Library of Alexandria all of the Hebrew scriptures, but in the language that they could read. So he wanted them translated into Greek. And so he commissioned the Sanhedrin, the rulers of the Jews in Jerusalem, to send scholars to translate their scrolls, their holy scriptures, into the Greek to be kept into that great library held in the capital city of Egypt, Alexandria. And Simeon is charged, he is one of those scholars charged with translating the scroll of Isaiah. And when he gets to a part in that scroll of Isaiah that has a prophetic statement, if you look it up in your Bibles today, it's Isaiah 7:14. When you read it, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." When Simeon read this statement in the Hebrew, he balked at the possibility of the meaning of it, of a virgin birth. And he decided within himself, as he read these words, how best to render them into the Greek, to not translate it in the Greek as virgin, but for the equivalent of what would be a young married woman. And as he made this decision, tradition holds that an angel appeared before him and visited Simeon before he committed to that translation and said, "You will see this fulfilled. It is supposed to be translated as virgin." And Simeon himself was given this promise that he would live to see that salvation happen. He would see the Emmanuel come from the virgin. Some hold that it was maybe even the archangel Gabriel himself, who was something like the guardian of the Theotokos. And Simeon expectantly waited for this fulfillment, grace aiding him to live well beyond the normal old age, to reach the day that we are celebrating now. He received the offerings of Joseph and Mary as the priest there and dedicated Jesus on this 40th day and gave the prophecies that we heard. Simeon plays a crucial role in this feast and its meaning because he is the one who gets to bear witness to the fulfillment of all that Jesus did in fulfilling the law in obedience to his Father. He filled every jot and tittle of the law, and Simeon bears witness to this. He fulfilled all of the messianic prophecies, and Simeon prophesies to the last one. All of Jesus' acts as the God-man, from the moment of his entry into the womb of the ever-Virgin Mary to his ascension into heaven and taking that humanity that he has with, that he united to himself, to the right hand of the Father, they are for a singular purpose, to save us. And today, we learn of one aspect of that, that obedience to God now is a gateway to indestructible life. And in this feast, priesthood begins to be transformed by our Lord's presentation in the temple. Because here, our Lord is interacting with a priest and filling up his actions with something completely different. He is dedicating himself to his Father, and grace is filling up that obedience. The priests of the church, even to this day, are sources for seeking God's blessing in the sacraments, in joining the little parts of our life, those momentous moments of our life, from our infancy to our final breaths. They no longer are things that we just have to do, but rather they become a way that we participate in Christ via his very body, through the servants of the church, the priests, just like Simeon was a servant of the temple. And so the law is fulfilled in him, so that by doing that, what he did, what Christ did, we become like him, and we are filled with grace. Through him, given in the priestly prayers, given in our dedication to God, we are transformed and we partake of the divine life, a God-like life. The blessing of life in Christ from birth all the way through our death, this is what God came to save and to fill with a whole new purpose. The God-man has destined himself from the very beginning, even before his birth, to the cross and for the resurrection that saves us. At this feast, part of that is accomplished and revealed to us. Yet we wait for its completion. We wait expectantly, like Simeon waited, as we begin to glimpse the path, even now, to Holy Friday and to the Lord's Pascha, his glorious resurrection. The crucified one today is still a little child. The one in swaddling cloths is presented at the temple, is the one who upon which every person will rise or fall. Each man or woman is created in the image of God. But we have the curse that can be transformed into the blessing if we submit to God and follow in the footsteps, the same ones that Christ followed. Then those can be transformed, transfigured into sources of blessing and grace. Because we are entirely dependent upon the crucified God-man. And the calendar of the church follows Christ in these major aspects of his life. From the beginning of the Theotokos' motherhood, the infancy of Christ in this feast today, we see means of sanctification of our human life. The child grows, he becomes strong, and in obedience finds favor and wisdom. Christ meets us with these unchanging modes of human life. Simply by presenting ourselves in the church, within the church, we receive a blessing and divine grace, because these are the same things that Christ did. We ourselves gain and the means to grow in strength, wisdom, and stature, and the favor of God. And we take on God's life in Jesus Christ. With Christ's blessing in and through his church and through his priests, we take that first part of Simeon's prophetic word, that many will rise with him. That becomes our own with these kinds of actions. So let us grow, let us rise with him by presenting ourselves and our families and receiving his blessing hand extended to us this day. So we'll close this homily with a prayer and a seeking of God's blessing. O God, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who this day presented thyself in the temple as the firstborn who opened the womb of thy mother, the ever-Virgin Mary, in dedication to thine unoriginate Father, we thank thee for entering our human life, condescending to us that we may have thy divine and heavenly life in fulfillment of the law that thou didst give, even in our weakness. As we dedicate our lives to thee, as we dedicate our infants to thee, in obedience and in love, knowing thee to be the God who is love, we know there is no human life that is not both miraculous and filled with suffering. We knowing this also, thou didst give us the resurrection even as we experience the crucifixion. Thou wast dedicated in obedience to the law given to Israel for purification, though thou and thy mother did not need such. Thou who art the crucified and resurrected incarnate God, in our obedience to thee, fill all those gathered here and all those of our community, from the infants to those already gray and with years, with thy divine life and the grace to grow, to become strong, filled with wisdom and the favor of God. as each strives to fulfill thy commands and to have a pure life. Fill them and transform their lives with thy indestructible life to know thee and to rise with thee on that glorious day of thy second coming unto life eternal. Amen.